Welcome to Assembly Line, the podcast for entrepreneurs building on the Salesforce platform. We'll go behind the scenes with innovative founders and leaders to share their stories, strategies, and lessons to accelerate your own path to success as a Salesforce ISV. Are you struggling to make sense of the Salesforce security review? It's the number one roadblock slowing down your AppExchange launch. Security Review Partner translates those complex reports into a simple, prioritized checklist. Stop deciphering jargon and start shipping faster. Get the clear, step-by-step guidance you need to pass the review with confidence. Simplify your path to market. Visit securityreviewpartner.com today. That's securityreviewpartner.com. Today, I'm excited because I'm going to be joined by Adam Erstell of Sifuno Labs. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, nice to be here.
Thanks for joining. So we're going to get into a lot of your background. I know you have a lot of, you're juggling a lot of balls in the air right now.
Aren't we all?
Yes. But you in particular have quite the impressive resume, because by day, I know you're working at ListEngage. And by night and on weekends, you're also running Sifuno Labs, which has not one, but several AppExchange apps. I think for this conversation, we want to focus mostly on your Teams connector, but I want to also chat a little bit about the process for your others. Could you tell us a little bit about Sifuno Labs and the Teams app, specifically what the application does, who it's for, and what problem it solves?
Yeah. So I started Sifuno Labs, I guess it's almost 2 years ago now, where I wanted to build apps that benefited the community. So like very small point solutions that solve gaps. And the first gap that I chose to tackle was Salesforce talks a lot about how you can do really cool things with Salesforce and Slack, especially after they purchased the company. Right. But there was no love for companies who use Teams. Mm-hmm. So I thought, hey, it would be nice if we can do a lot of these things that Salesforce talks about with Teams. And I built basically a small app that allows Salesforce administrators to use Salesforce Flow to do things in Microsoft Teams, like sending messages, creating channels and chats and things like that.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a nice example of zigging when others are zagging, right? If the focus is mostly on Slack. But we know a lot of companies are obviously on Teams. So that's really cool. And you said it works with Flow. So it's a kind of a low code or no code application. So folks that aren't familiar with Apex are able to set up these integrations with their Teams account?
Yes. Basically, the AppExchange package that I created, right, it has the Apex code that lets you talk to Teams, but it empowers the administrator to choose how and when they want to, you know, make those calls or messages.
Very cool.
Right. So I'm providing the Lego building blocks. I'm a fan of Lego from my background.
I can tell.
Background. And by empowering administrators to do that kind of thing, right, it can unlock a ridiculous amount of use cases.
Very cool. And so give us an idea of your current state. What's your current revenue, team size, customer count, whatever you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah, it's still early in the journey. I've got, I think it's over 20 paying customers, so it's not a huge amount. But, you know, for a hobbyist business, it's doing pretty good. And I think we've got over 200 installs, right? So that includes people trying it out in sandboxes, right? Sandbox refreshes and things like that.
So I want to rewind the clock a little bit. I know you kind of touched on this, that a lot of the focus was on Slack, and you were thinking that Teams would be a good focus. Was there any other background to how you came up with the idea for the application? Were you scratching your own itch? Were you at a Teams company at the time, or?
No, I was working for a consulting agency, and you know, just in conversations at community conferences and user groups and online discussions, right? It kind of came up every once in a while. And mm-hmm. then I was playing a video game, maybe a little bit too much. I looked at the stats and it was like, in the last month, you've played like 250 hours of mm-hmm. this video game. And I had that little light bulb moment of, hey, if instead of playing video games, if I like turned it into something like creating an app, right, maybe that could be a little bit more productive. So the combination of seeing people, you know, throughout a couple of years wishing they could do these things with teams and realizing, hey, I'm playing a little bit too much video games. That was the, you know, those two ideas combined is what the genesis was for starting this out.
Cool. Well, kudos to you for making use of your free time, because it's honestly easier said than done, right? I joke that a lot of people say how busy they are, but I think if they looked at their Netflix history, they'd find some hours in the couch cushions.
Yeah. And I come from a background of a software engineer, right? So when I initially had this idea of going down, building something to solve that gap for teams, I figured, hey, you know, it shouldn't take very long. Microsoft has an API, right? I've done lots of those. It should be like a 1 or 2 week thing. Mm-hmm. And as most efforts end up going, right, it wasn't a 2 week thing. It took a, you know, 2 or 3 months to build and put together and actually get it to work, right? Because vendor documentation is often incomplete. So, you know, just working through all of that, it ended up taking a lot more time than I think I originally hoped.
It often, everything does seem to take longer than we originally expect. Did you do, and that's just build time, right? I mean, was there any, I guess I should only speak from personal experience, but I know as developers, oftentimes we kind of feel like, oh, you just got to build the product, then the red carpet will be rolled out to you, right? In that 2-3 month period, were you solely building, or were you trying to lay any groundwork to kind of validate the market, or?
So I would say that I'm not the strongest in that area. A lot of the things that I've made for the App Exchange or that I've put out there has largely been of the mentality, if you build it, they will come, you know, from Field of Dreams movie back in the day.
Great movie.
And that is totally not the case. And I think it's something I probably still struggle with, right? So, you know, trying to figure out, you know, is there product market fit? Is pricing at the right point? Right. Those are definitely areas where I find that I'm a little bit weaker on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, of that initial, you know, 2 or 3 months that I was talking about, the vast majority of that was, you know, product build itself as well as some of the surrounding artifacts that one needs, such as website and public documentation and demo videos and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, knowing what you know now, if you could go back, would you have changed your process a little bit and focused a little bit more on the marketing? Or I'm asking because I think some folks might be listening to this conversation right now that are currently where you were when you first started building. And so I'm wondering if you have any advice for them.
I think my biggest piece of advice would be for people in this situation to go to Amazon and download or purchase a book called The Mom Test. It's a book that I've only recently read, something I wish I had read before I started any of this journey, where it helps people think through how do we want to start talking about our idea and how do we want to ask the right questions so that we get valuable and helpful information, right? The Salesforce community is so encouraging and supporting, where if someone were to say, hey, I have this idea to build a Teams app that, you know, that brings feature parity to what you can do with Slack, what do you think? Right? Almost everyone in the community is going to be like, oh, that's a great idea. You should totally do it. But that's not the right type of question to ask. Right. And the book, the Mom Test, helps you think through and, you know, plan out what are those questions? How do you get the real information? Right. Ask it in such a way where even someone who's encouraging, like your mom, actually get answers that help.
That's very good. That book comes up a lot. In fact, and it's great for you because you're an Atlanta guy, I believe, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, that book was written by a Georgia Tech alum. I don't know where you fall in the UGA-Georgia Tech fight. But
that's awesome.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You bring up a great point that one of the strengths of the Salesforce ecosystem of being so supportive can be a bit of a weakness for, I think, entrepreneurs and founders wanting to build for the App Exchange because you need constructive criticism.
Right.
Right. It's hard to, only positive feedback is not really actionable. If you get some negative feedback, then you have something to at least work on and improve and fix, right?
Yeah. And in the community, I find that you'll get more constructive criticism when people are, you know, hands on a demo or hands on a tech, right? You'll get that constructive feedback saying, hey, this label could be worded better, or, you know, your description could be populated if you're missing it, or, right? Like, you'll get that type of constructive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier on in, you know, business formation and, you know, validating that initial idea before you spend a couple months building something, I totally agree with what you said there, right? It's going to be a lot tougher.
Mm-hmm. And so Sifuno Labs is bootstrapped currently at this moment. Is that right?
Yep.
Was that a conscious choice, or do you still consider one day maybe fundraising for that, for Sifuno Labs? Or,
I mean, right now it's still so small that fundraising, I don't know, it seems just like way too far out in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because it's a hobbyist business, I'm not exactly in a rush to grow it, so to speak. Right. So at least today, as of this recording, right, I totally foresee it continuing to be bootstrapped and, you know, just self-funded.
Sure. That makes sense. Especially then you can keep the control in these early days, right? Rather than being forced to grow from investors and things like that. So that makes sense. You mentioned that you have about 20 paying customers right now.
Yes.
Was there any secret sauce to how you came across your first 10 or so? And I know you said it took about 3 months to kind of get to the final build. How long did it take you to get your initial early 10 or so customers?
Oh, I think it was probably 6-7 months before I started getting those, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I started getting like one or two a month, and then there was 1 month where I got 4 new customers and I was like, oh yeah, we're, you know, really starting to roll. But it's also, you know, come back down from that high. So yeah, I would say probably 1 or 2 customers a month is what I've been averaging for the last year and a half. But to answer your question, the approach that I took in trying to get out there, I really mm-hmm. started with going, you know, seeking out where people are asking about this gap and responding, right? And it might seem obvious as I say it, but, you know, I was, you know, seeking out Reddit questions. I was seeking out Trailblazer community questions, questions in the Microsoft community, right? Because those are the two products that I'm trying to tie together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just Googling or searching, you know, where are people asking about the pain that I'm trying to solve? And then just jumping in and saying, hey, I think I have a solve here. Check it out. Right. So cool. Just trying to, or I don't know if it's organic or not, but trying to get the word out in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I also I also published a post on Salesforce Ben. And I think that has probably been the biggest driver of traffic to the listing and of the application itself.
Now, is this a paid post, or are you saying you wrote?
Well, I initially tried to write it in a way where I wouldn't have to pay, but mm-hmm. they caught on and they're like, no, this is definitely looking like a sponsored post. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll pay the fee to, you know, have this blog post written. And, you know, because I'm paying this fee, I did tweak some of the wording a little bit to be a little bit more in favor of the app. But their guidance really is, you know, for a sponsored post, you should really aim to have it be 80% thought leadership and 20% product. Right. Now, I think I ended up somewhere around 10 or 15%, right? Because I truly want the community to have better ways of doing this, whether or not they're paying for my solution.
That's cool. That's cool. One, that you did that, but also that Salesforce Spend obviously is kind of maintaining the integrity of their platform, right? By making sure even a paid post is helpful to everybody. That's really cool. And so you saw a good ROI then, it sounds like, on this paid post.
I am tracking it. I think I need one or two more customers, and then it pays for the fee that I had initially put out.
Cool. That's the nice thing about putting out content, right? Is you can, once it's out there, it can continue to be an asset and a resource for growing business. But I want to talk a little bit more about something you mentioned, like, you know, following folks on Reddit, answering posts on Trailblazer community and forums for the Microsoft community as well. I know that there are tools out there that can help in terms of notifications, right? F5 bot is one that I've heard of many times, where you can track keywords and then quickly jump into a conversation. So, but my question is not so much the how, from a technical standpoint, you were able to get in the conversations, but how you were able to jump in a way that didn't turn folks off. Because I think what a lot of founders struggle with is they see a conversation about their app space and they want to just kind of quickly go for the sale. And sometimes people just shut off oftentimes when they feel like they're being sold to. And so how did you walk that line?
I think the way that I walked it is, never having been in a sales role, I don't really know how to sell to people, so to speak, right? So when I'm responding to one of these posts where hopefully it's an opportunity for a sale in the future, I have the mentality of, this person is not going to buy my app. How can I add value to what they ask for? Or their problem or their solve, like, how can I add value to that? Right? Because if you're adding value to someone, then there's that sliver or that slim chance that they will, you know, click into your link that talks about the solve that you have created. So that's the mentality that I have, right? I'm literally in it to make sure that I am answering Scott's question, right? I'm empowering him to be successful, whether or not it turns into a sale.
Wow. So that's really cool. So am I right in saying that you oftentimes would answer these questions and didn't even mention your product and just kind of went with the assumption that they'd probably look you up on LinkedIn or the Trailblazer community afterwards?
Sometimes, yes. Right. Now, if the thing that I made can make it easier for them to solve what I'm, you know, talking about, I'll say, hey, by the way, if you're interested, I've made something that will, you know, solve this for you. Right. And, you know, maybe trying to work my keywords that I'm trying to drive for SEO up, like try to work that in. But it's usually like at the very end after I've, you know, answered the thing for you. Right. And even that sponsored Salesforce Ben post that I was talking about, the post itself talks about the three different ways that people can solve the solution. And one of them happens to be my solution.
I see.
So I'm giving you two other ways that you can do it. They're a little bit tougher, right? But again, making sure you have the information you need to be successful.
Very cool. Well, so we focused a lot so far on the Teams app, but we were joking earlier about all the balls that you're juggling at any given moment. I know you have multiple apps that you're working on. I don't believe all of them are on the AppExchange yet, but is there an overlap between them? Are they kind of part of a larger strategy for, you know, communication of Salesforce data outside the platform to things like Teams, or are they completely independent applications?
I think most of them are completely independent. Really, it's, you know, what's the pain that I experienced recently, and can I make something that solves the pain for others?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the Teams app really is kind of on its own, floating out there. Some of the other solutions that I've put together, you know, they focus a little bit more on helping marketers on the Salesforce platform. So I've got, you know, one solution I have, which is free for people, is, you know, it allows them to accelerate or kickstart their campaign influence reporting inside of Salesforce, right? So it's something super easy you can install. A few other marketing-based applications that, you know, hopefully solve someone's issue.
Do you have a listing on a Microsoft Marketplace for your Teams application in addition to the AppExchange? Or I honestly don't know much about the Microsoft app world like that. I mean, I don't know if they have a marketplace in the same way that the AppExchange. There's the AppExchange.
Yeah, they do have a marketplace where you can put either paid or free apps. Salesforce has a listing inside of the Teams space,
mm-hmm.
which allows people to pull information out of Salesforce and display it in Teams, right? So you can kind of bring up records. You can do a couple of basic things. For the solution that I put together, right, I built it in such a way where I don't want Sifuno to be in the middle of your point-to-point integration. So as a result of that architectural decision, I don't have anything that I can put on the Microsoft listing.
I see. So there's no middleware. It's all a native application that lives fully in Salesforce.
Direct Salesforce to Teams.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned that Salesforce, though, has their own application on the marketplace for Microsoft. Have you run into any issues, or do you have any concern that Salesforce might build their own Teams plugin? Or there'd be an overlap of features that could reduce demand for your application?
I think that's the gamble that anyone who builds on the AppExchange is going to face, right? So for my circumstance, I think the risk is a little bit lower, right? Because Salesforce has Slack, right? They're going to want to push everyone to using Slack, right? Trying to steal some of Microsoft's slice of the pie in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a hard time seeing Salesforce innovating with Microsoft Teams.
Sure.
Right. That's not to say that they won't, right? There might be a couple of really huge Salesforce deals in the future that would hinge on such a thing, right? And that might force them to. But I don't see it in the near future.
Yeah, I think you're probably right that given that they own Slack, they're probably not that interested in building more and more for Teams, and rather would rather just convince folks, dangle the carrot to bring them over to Slack and say, well, if you sign up for Slack, then we can easily integrate with all your Salesforce data.
Yeah. And I think that because Salesforce has a Teams integration, right, they're able to check that box on a request for proposal or RFP, right? And we see that a lot in the ecosystem where adjacent technologies to Salesforce, right, they might have a really substandard integration, right? Mm-hmm. But because they have one, they can check boxes. And I find that to be the case for a lot of the MarTech tools that are out there.
Mm.
And, you know, so for small ISVs who are looking to get started, right, who might see an opportunity saying, hey, that integration sucks, maybe I can build something that's better, right? The risk will always be that, you know, either Salesforce or, you know, the other application, they end up building something better into their product and it kind of wipes you out.
Mm-hmm. Building an AppExchange business can be isolating. Are you tired of guessing what the right next move is to grow and scale? Don't go it alone. ISV Forge surrounds you with a curated group of fellow ISV founders who are on the same journey. We combine peer accountability with expert-led weekly webinars to help you overcome roadblocks and build a thriving business. Stop guessing and start scaling. Apply for the next cohort today at isvforge.com. That's isvforge.com. Well, I want to maybe jump back into talking about marketing a little bit more. You mentioned the Salesforce Ben post. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned kind of doing some outbound in terms of, you know, responding to Reddit questions, things like that. Were there any other particular marketing channels that you leveraged or that worked really well for you? And I'm specifically curious if you have any that would really be budget friendly, right, for folks in their early days that maybe can't afford yet to do a post or at least a sponsored post on Salesforce Ben.
Yeah, I think, you know, jumping into those community groups is going to be the most budget friendly because it doesn't cost you a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I've just done is I've sponsored a demo jam at a Salesforce Dreamin event.
Okay, which one was that?
So Midwest Dreamin is next week, and they had a budget friendly option for first timers to, you know, come in and be a sponsor and participate in the demo jam. So it's going to be the first time that I've done such a thing. So I don't have any results or anything like that. But I think, you know, look at your local Salesforce community conferences to see if there's, you know, small sponsorship opportunities. I think that'll be one thing. Another option that I've, you know, dabbled in a little bit is working with your local Salesforce community user groups, right? Where I think there are some sponsorship opportunities there. I don't know the pricing. I know that it's not going to be, you know, cost prohibitive, although I guess that's very subjective depending on where everyone is in their journey, but it's not going to be, you know, Salesforce conference pricing, which is ludicrous. But, you know, working with your community user groups, you know, maybe you can sponsor something, or maybe you can just come up with, you know, 45 minutes of content where, again, a small portion of that is, and we build something that makes everything else that we talked about a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of getting involved in the, not just the Dreamin and the conferences, but also the community user groups themselves. Especially if you're focusing on, like you keep saying, providing value rather than just making a sales pitch. I think a lot of folks would be receptive to that. Of the customers that you have right now, are most of them, have you been able to attribute back to these early conversations or the Salesforce Ben post, or do you have folks coming in now solely through, you know, the AppExchange listing that you had no prior communication with previously?
It's definitely, you know, a little bit across the board. It is a bit tougher to attribute AppExchange sales to things like Reddit or the community user group. Mm-hmm. Unless you're doing some, I don't want to say magic, but unless you're being intentful on when you're sharing your link.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's cool about the AppExchange is if someone lands on the on your AppExchange listing and your URL is using UTM parameters, when Salesforce creates the lead in your company's Salesforce org, they will take those UTM parameters and put them in the description of the lead, right? Mm. So after a little bit of processing, you can say, hey, this lead came from my Salesforce Ben article, right? Then I can do the attribution work to say, yes, I have, well, in my case, you know, 5 paying customers that came from Salesforce Ben. I have one or two that came from Reddit. I've got a couple that came from somewhere else, right? You can systematically tie that information together.
That's really cool. I've seen something about that on in the App Exchange before, and I believe you've given a talk on this at some Dreamit events, I think. Is that right? On how to properly attribute where your leads are coming from with those UTM tags?
Yes, I have a talk called No UTM Left Behind. It doesn't specifically talk about the App Exchange and how to tie the lead records description, like how to make that magic work. But it does talk in broader senses about how to use UTMs, how it can help you track your revenue to your campaign efforts.
That's really cool. I think a lot of ISVs right now that don't have your kind of MarTech experience are probably missing out on a lot of that data and being able to figure out where their best leads are coming from. So that's important because then they can double down, right, on those strategies. If you know everything's coming from, you know, Salesforce Ben, then perhaps you should consider doing another post there. Or I know they have more options, I know, than just sponsored posts. They do reviews and things like that.
Yeah. For someone bootstrapping such as myself, right, the Salesforce Ben reviews, like, they were a little bit outside of my price range.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're an ISV getting started and maybe you have a little bit of, you know, angel investor money, right, it would probably be a good place to look, right? Because Salesforce Ben is such a trusted resource.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they really do try to make sure that they are adding value to the community, right? If you can sense a theme here.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Let's maybe talk a little bit about pricing. How did you land on your initial pricing for your application? And have you changed it at all since launch?
So this is probably not helpful to most, but I am probably horrible at picking pricing, right? So I literally just picked a number out of thin air and said, yeah, that probably sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the pricing that I started with. I have very recently been told by multiple people that I'm not charging enough for the solution. So with the last couple of sales that I've had, I reach out to them and say, hey, I'm not going to change your pricing, but if it were X amount more or X amount more, like, what would have been your, you know, point of resistance?
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten a couple answers from that, but that's literally where I am right now is figuring out, you know, should the price change and likely increase and things like that. I was going to say there's probably way better answers out there if you're, you know, getting into product management, but that's not a path that I've been down yet.
You know, honestly, I appreciate the candor there, because I think that it's a much more difficult thing to manage than folks give credit for, pricing, that is. And I think a lot of people end up, and quite frankly, I include Salesforce in this, start off with pricing that they're not sure is going to be, the final number. But you got to put something out there and you got to get going. I mean, look at Agentforce, right? That they've changed not just the pricing, but the entire pricing model. So I do think that it's valuable to just get something going. But the problem that I see is a lot of folks do that, but then never reevaluate.
Right.
And so I commend you for kind of getting this information, this data from your customers of how much they would be willing to pay. And I know some people do a lot of someone, especially with your MarTech experience, I think, could probably build out some, you know, different landing pages, do some A/B testing, and kind of see what kind of traffic, how different pricing affects traffic and things like that.
I think the challenge there would be that you don't really have that A/B testing capability on the App Exchange,
mm.
right? With the listings that I've put put in place. I'm using a Salesforce technology called Salesforce Checkout, where the App Exchange is the place where payment is captured and where the subscription is managed. Right. Another option that companies have is to, you know, build their own payment infrastructure and, you know, forms and portals, right? And then you're just kind of linking that to the App Exchange. Mm-hmm. So if you're going down that second path, right, there you definitely have the abilities to do A/B testing, right? Show half of your visitors one price, show other half a different one, and, you know, you can start experimenting there.
Mm. But I assume with Checkout, though, a lot of things are simplified. Like you said, the Salesforce manages the invoice collection for you and payments and things like that.
Yeah. So I opted for that to keep things a little bit easier, again, for this, you know, this bootstrap guy over here. But you can go kind of either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see how that would be appealing to, especially like just get something working, get something out there, rather than waiting for perfection.
Yeah, and one thing that I would call out, I've got a couple listings in progress right now, and it seems Salesforce is changing how they're looking to charge their partners.
Okay,
right? So for people who are interested in going down this path, right? See what your pricing might be, and then start the listing process with Salesforce as soon as you can to see what Salesforce is going to say about your pricing and what they are going to charge you on the back end for having that listing up there. It's, as I'm learning right now, and it can obviously change, it's not as straightforward as a simple, you know, 15% cut that I've seen on the marketing resources that are out there.
That's interesting. I was not aware that there's possibly going to be a change to that. Is that something you could share more about, or?
I can only talk about it from the experience that I've been going through, right? We were hoping to get a listing out there where the app price was, I think it was like $3,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Right. And in early discussions with Salesforce, sorry, 3,000 per org per year, not per user. That would be kind of crazy. But in some of those discussions with Salesforce, they were like, well, we have a floor price where it's a minimum that you have to pay Salesforce. Right. So if 15% is lower than this floor, then you have to like pay the balance, right? And in the discussions we've had right now, that floor price is $150 a month, right?
Per
so if
org.
You do the math, that's $1,800 a year that we would have to pay Salesforce for having the listing and having the app.
I see. Their floor price was $150 per org per month.
Right, right. Okay. So initially we thought we were going to sell this app for $3,000 a year, and we're going to have to give $1,800 of that to Salesforce.
I see.
That doesn't leave a lot of margin for a company. So we're trying to navigate and figure out what does that mean, right?
And
Salesforce's initial question was, well, can't you just bump up the price? And it's like, I don't know if we can go from $3,000 to $10,000, right? The app likely doesn't deliver that much value. But anyway, the advice I would have for anyone watching is, you know, start that discussion with Salesforce early, find out what your costs will actually be. And then, you know, maybe that'll shape decisions or things like that.
That's really good advice. I'm glad you touched on that, because I do think a lot of folks focus probably too much on the development, on the build of the application. And then I do think a lot of, now there's enough out there that people realize, you know, they're going to have to go through security review, and they're aware of that. I think what a lot of people aren't aware of is that there's also a whole process to starting the partnership and getting your listing approved and getting your pricing model. And I know there are early calls, you have discovery calls and follow-ups with just kind of the business team of Salesforce. And that really probably shouldn't wait, or it could be done in parallel with development. So that's great advice to just get started on that earlier rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, you know, depending on what you're looking to build and put together, right? The Salesforce business arrangement might make it not feasible for your idea to even take off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I'm secretly hoping that Salesforce, you know, reverts some of these very recent changes and mm-hmm. how they're, you know, squeezing partners a little bit more. But I mean, time will tell how that goes. But I would definitely hate for someone to, you know, go through all the effort, spend all of the either time and or money building a really cool solution only to find out that it's not going to be financially feasible.
Sure. Have you looked into or already built any extension packages for any of the apps you've been working on related to Agentforce? I know that's a big push from Salesforce these days. I think hopefully a lot of ISVs are aware of the prioritized security reviews and the essentially free, I think it's $1 for a security review right now for an Agentforce application. Is that something that's part of your strategy?
Yes. Yeah. So I actually had two agent exchange listings get rejected by Salesforce because I missed a phrase that they had where basically if you're looking to have an Agentforce package or extension out there, it either has to be monetized or the package that it's adding on top of has to be monetized.
I see. Right? Okay. So no free agent exchange apps.
No free agent exchange apps that are built on a free Salesforce package, so to speak.
I see.
All right. So something has to be monetized. I don't know that I agree with because it might kill some innovation, but that might be a discussion for a whole new podcast.
Maybe we can have that. We can follow up on this conversation maybe when you have some that are live down the road. But so right now, Sifuno Labs is still very lean, right? I believe it's just yourself.
Yeah, it's primarily myself. I've got a couple other people who help me out here and there.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's very, very lean, so to speak.
Okay. I wasn't aware that you had started growing the team, so maybe we can talk about that a little bit. How did you decide that you needed additional support with Sifuno Labs, and who was your first hire, I guess? And by that, I mean role.
Yeah, it was actually at the very beginning of formation, right? I tend to know where my blind spots are, where my shortcomings are, and very literally it's just a friend that I have, right, who is a lot stronger in those areas. He helped me out with some of the website build, with some of the phrasing, right? So, you know, that's one person that I, you know, rely on to continue to help me out there, right? Mm-hmm. Positioning, messaging, stuff like that. So he's not really a hire, so to speak, but I make sure that he's treated to lunches and dinners as whenever I can.
That's very nice. Early stage partner, sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. So like nothing formal or anything like that. And, you know, it's a handshake thing and, mm-hmm. you know, because we're friends, which, you know, sometimes can get dicey, especially if you're starting a business. But just in the way that we work together, we've been working together for a very long time, that it's continued to work out nice for me.
That's great.
I guess I should say.
We've taken up a lot of time. I know we should start wrapping up, but I know you're all about providing value. I've picked up on that, Adam. So, I want to maybe just, close by talking about some topics I think provide a lot of value to listeners. Could you go over maybe some some of the main challenges that you had getting to where you are currently, and maybe, you know, lessons learned and how you're applying those teachings going forward?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know that I have anything off the top of my head. I think, again, I don't want to say it's a regret, but the biggest thing that I think would have shaped how I launched Sifuno Labs and the product at the beginning, right, would have been a lot different had I read that mom test book.
Mm.
So again, I don't want to say it's a regret, but it's definitely something that I could go back in time and change.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it is a regret. I don't know. So that's definitely one lesson learned, right? Other lessons would be to, I don't know.
Well, the mom test is a great, great takeaway. I think for folks, I have to go get that book and read it if they haven't already. Switching gears, looking forward, where do you see the Salesforce ecosystem going in the next few years for ISVs? Well, what are the biggest opportunities you think founders should be focusing on?
I think it's going to be tempting to talk about AI, right? But I think what we've seen out there in the market and ecosystem is the majority of companies, right, while excited about what AI can do, has been a lot slower to adopt from an enterprise or from a business perspective, right? So if you're looking to, you know, jump into this ecosystem, right, just be cautious and aware of how other people are thinking about AI,
mm-hmm.
right? Right. So again, just build something that initially adds value, maybe without AI to start, right? And then you can have an optional or a dependent package that adds AI for those companies who are, you know, a little bit more on that leading edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's good advice. One thing I like about your background, Adam, is your experience in MarTech, I think, probably bleeds through some of your development. And, you know, the Teams application in particular, right, that's core, it's all about communication.
Yes.
And I think with the main focus on AI right now, I think folks over time, if they haven't already, are going to just also be craving human connection more and more. When people realize you can do so much with the bots, like I think we're just going to crave more and more that human touch. And I think at the end of the day, you know, communication, marketing in general, is a lot about connecting individuals, connecting people together. You know, if you look back through history, I think some of the most influential and innovative companies have a focus solely and connecting people at the end of the day. You know, if you look at Meta, how they started with Facebook and all these social media companies, at the end of the day, a lot of it, the focus is, you know, helping humans talk to other humans. So I think your idea of, you know, maybe not ignoring the AI hype, but also not just creating yet another AI app is smart. Is there anything, so for someone who's maybe, you know, on day one of their ISV journey, do you have any advice that you'd give to them or, you know, something you wish you had known before starting that they should keep in mind?
I'm going to propose something that I don't even know the answer to. So, you know, stepping out on a ledge there, but I think, you know, if it exists, right, finding a Salesforce community group that talks purely about ISVs and building apps, right? I know there's admin groups, there's developer groups. I don't know if there are ISV community groups, right? But jumping in there and just surrounding yourself with other people who have built apps in the Salesforce ecosystem, I would say that would be my very first thing to recommend, right? Even above learning the Salesforce platform itself.
So I love that because that's obviously with this podcast, as maybe you would aware, you may be already aware, I'm very passionate about the ISV space. And I do think that there's a lot of folks out there reinventing wheels simply because we're not as connected as we could be. I love that idea. We should look into this and see if there is one, Adam. And if not, maybe we can have a follow-up and get something started here. I grew up outside of the Atlanta region, so I'm be more than happy to go down to your neck of the woods.
Did I just sign up to be a user group leader?
We'll talk more later. Well, on that note, I want to say thank you so much for joining today, Adam. I think this was a great conversation. I think true to form, you've provided a lot of value to folks out there. Where, as we close, like where could folks go to learn more about your application or Siphuno Labs?
Yeah, so there's this really cool thing out there, the internet.
I'm familiar, I think.
You've used it, have you?
Once or twice.
Yeah, SiphunoLabs.com is the home base of what we have. I'm also pretty active, like I think I said earlier, on LinkedIn and, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, we can add that to the show notes. Thank you again, and talk soon. See you at your future ISV user group.
Thanks. See you there.
Bye, Adam.
Bye.
Are you looking to connect with the most dedicated founders and builders in the Salesforce ecosystem? The Assemblyline audience is made up of the exact ISV partners and entrepreneurs you're trying to reach. We're opening up a few sponsorship slots to partner with brands that can truly help our listeners succeed. If you're ready to connect with the leaders of the AppExchange, you can learn more at assemblyline.com/sponsor. That's assemblyline.com/sponsor.